smile when I'm feeling down. You give me such a vibe, I just totally wanna fight. It's not the way you walk, and it ain't the way you talk. It ain't the job you got that keeps me satisfied.
Welcome back, eCanada. You are live on 186.7 Confederation Station. I am your host, Acacia Mason, and this is Northern Exposure. It's been a little over a week since I did the last podcast, and I apologize. I've been taking a little bit of vacation time doing the family thing and just generally trying to enjoy myself. And I thought, well, you know what? It's time to get back in the saddle, get the regular Friday podcast rolling. So here we are. And for those who were listening to the musical introduction, hopefully you don't fast forward through that. That was Sonique with her song Feels So Good. It's a bit of a blast from the past, from the 1990s. It was hands down one of the most popular trance dance club songs at the time. I remember very clearly hearing it repeatedly while I was club hopping in my club hopping days. So if you enjoy Sonique and you want to hear a little bit more, or you're interested in hearing the entire song, you can certainly find it on YouTube. Again, it is Sonique, S-O-N-I-Q-U-E, and her song is Feels So Good. And it does indeed feel very good to be back. And let's on that note, let's just jump right into Around the Horn, a look at the top five articles as selected by me that are making news in eCanada. And normally I would take the top five articles as they're listed, but given that we're in the throes of a presidential campaign, there are platforms that show up in there, and although interesting and definitely worth reading, doesn't really fit the format of what I'm looking for when I look for the top five articles. So let's jump right into that. Let's go first and foremost with the presidential pardon from Dade Pendwin. Free Temujin, BC. We have heard it repeatedly, and Temujin, BC is now free. I have to give credit where credit is due. Dade has taken what is truly, or what was truly, a hot potato issue, and has done what I think is the right thing to do in the circumstances. Although certainly I was the Attorney General at the time who prosecuted, and I understand all that, I think there does come a point where we have to look at two things. We have to look at the contributions that Temujin made on the battlefield and his contributions to eCanada. And certainly we can't overlook that. His contributions have been tremendous. And to overlook that would be wildly unfair. Secondly, we have to consider that the amount of time that he was banned from the government and from the ECAN forums and IRC, et cetera, exceeded the initial ban. And certainly I think that ban has run its course. So we welcome Temujin BC back to the community. We thank him for his continued contributions on the battlefield. And certainly I look forward to having the opportunity to see what he does next. So congratulations, Temujin, and good luck. I hope you continue to do us proud on the battlefield as one of Canada's top fighting e-Canadians. Second, I want to point out the This Is It newsletter by Supa Beastie. Now, if you've not checked out this newsletter, I think it is hands down one of the best new printed formats available. It's one thing to look at a wall of text and to read through articles, and it's certainly nice to listen to podcasts. It's a nice change of pace. Supa brings a really new dimension to eCanada media, and he does it with a very colorful and very visually appealing newsletter format. So if you haven't gone and checked that out, definitely go and check it out, the This Is It newsletter. It's fresh, it's interesting, it's different, it's creative, and the content is spot on. It's informative, and the editorials are great. He's done a couple of interviews already. I'm really excited by the quality of the writing that's coming out of there, and I know it's a lot of work to put it together. I hope he continues to do so. So there's my shameless plug to you, Supa. Please continue to produce those articles, because I really, really enjoy them tremendously. Article number three I want to touch on. A bit of a sensitive issue, really, but one that I think we need to take a look at least acknowledge the work that's being done, is the new CPF newspaper, Call of the Blue Moose. Credit to Addie Lawrence for putting together a new newspaper, a media outlet for the CPF. I strongly suggest anybody who is subscribing to previous CPF newspapers, please subscribe to this newspaper. It's great to see that that Addie's introducing this new newspaper, and it's great to see this happening as the party begins to pick itself up off the mat and dust itself off and become a fighting force again in eCanada. So, again, if you were previous subscriber to other CPF newspapers, please check out this newspaper and subscribe to it to get all of your CPF news and notes and other information as it becomes available. The fourth article I'm going to touch on is Mark Yalala's CSIS in Action, an action-packed year. It's interesting, ever since I've been in this game, Mark has always been the director of the CSIS, and I think he's done a phenomenal job in that capacity. I cannot begin to wrap my head around the amount of work that must go into providing, in my opinion, world-class intelligence service. And I think he's done a tremendous job with that, and as have his deputies and so on and so forth, and certainly the agents, whoever they are. We certainly don't know who they are, and that's a good thing. However, in this article, Mark has announced that he is stepping down as the director of the CSIS. And on August the 6th, when we install a new Canadian Prime Minister, it will be up to that individual to name a new director of the CSIS. Now, that being said, it's a real shame when you lose a quality and high caliber individual like Mark. I'm confident that we will find somebody to step in and try to fill those shoes. We have a lot of very experienced, seasoned, qualified Canadians who I'm sure will be able to fill the role and perhaps expand it and reinvent it and do a little bit more with it. But certainly, Mark, you should get a huge pat on the back for all of your hard work and your dedication to this country in terms of keeping our country safe whenever possible with your contributions to the intelligence community. And those who don't know, when you read through the article, you will see that our intelligence service is viewed on the world stage as one of the most professional intelligence services in e-Republic, and that is in large part to the hard work of Mark Yalala. So give him a pat on the back, send him a PM, congratulate him on a job well done, comment on the article. He certainly deserves it. The last thing I want to touch on is an article by Rigor Six, one of my favorite writers, and favorite for a number of reasons, and not the least of which is because his articles are always hard-hitting, direct, and honest. And I think those are three very important qualities in a good journalist. And he recently wrote an article called Personal Statement on Recent Porn. You know, it's interesting when I watch Canadian Dude releasing these articles that were littered with pornography, and I question whether or not pornography has a place in this game. I mean, we talk about the fact that this is a social environment and so on and so forth, but I question whether or not it truly had a place. And when Rigor Six wrote this article, I felt really vindicated by his comments, because in a lot of ways it mirrored the way I felt about the recent rash of pornography. And there are going to be two schools of thought on this. Clearly, there are going to be those who subscribe to the line of thinking that Salty Dog presented, which I can also understand, and that if we're going to put porn out there, why should it just be heterosexual porn? Why not homosexual porn or transgendered porn or whatever, fetish porn? And so, of course, Salty calling for a little more variety, Canadian Dude obliged him and provide the infamous chair article. And many jokes have been made about Salty's death grip on that chair. For those of us who saw it, I unfortunately clicked into the article because Salty had shouted a link, and I usually take his word as the gospel and don't think twice about clicking on links that he provides, and I got a bit of a shock when I got to the article. However, that being said, I don't believe that porn has a place in e-Republic. There are other places in which that is appropriate. I don't think that e-Republic is one of those places. And I agree with what Rigor 6 had to say in that this is a community of individuals who, although behind a screen, I think we do owe it to the people who play this game to try and be respectful of boundaries, to be respectful to sensitivities, and try to make decisions and post material that is not... that's not offensive, you know, and I think to say that type of article is offensive, and I agree with what Rigor 6 had to say about that. So good on him for having the stones to step up and say it. I'm glad to see that all of the articles have been pulled, and hopefully we've seen the end of that. I don't know if Canadian Dude has been banned yet. I know his many, many multis will make it difficult to try and ban him entirely. However, I'm glad to see that the admins have finally come out of their fail status and managed to pull those articles, although it took, in my opinion, far too long for the action to be taken. All right, moving right along, let's jump into news for noobs. And let's talk a little bit about the wellness and happiness thing, which I've spoken about before. Right now in the workplace, it's very difficult to find jobs that will pay well enough to support good quality food purchases. So there are some things that you can do to combat that. First and foremost, if you opt to work for 12 hours, I believe your wellness only takes a small hit. Your happiness takes the biggest hit, obviously, but I think the wellness hit is 1 or 2 points. And if I've got that wrong, somebody please correct me in the comment section and clarify that. But I believe the wellness hit is 1 or 2 points, that the happiness hit is 12. You can recover the happiness hit for the most part by then going and relaxing for 12 hours and recovering that. I know that really stinks in terms of the training piece and the library piece, but however, in the early stages, while you're just trying to get yourself acclimated, get your skill level up, and be able to find a decent paying job and take a wage that's more than the very bare minimum, this might be a good strategy for you to employ. So work the 12 hours, collect as much money as you can, and then go and relax for the next 12 hours and recover the happiness. Hopefully that by only taking a 1 or 2 point wellness hit, you'll be able to afford to purchase very simple food. Low-quality food, because you won't need high-quality food, but purchase low-quality food. And although this is not exactly the most exciting process in the world, you know, work, sleep, you know, buy food type of thing, if you can live with it for a short period of time, you'll quickly find your skills, you'll find an opportunity anyway to get a better-paying job. And, of course, at that point, you'll have the resources that you need. So use just the basic booster. I've said before that if you're a new player, using the other boosters is probably not worth your time. Use the free booster whenever possible, doing the for the work and for the resting piece, the wellness piece, and take advantage of those free boosters, because that's what they are there for. Don't overwork, and make sure that you do get a chance to rest and recover your happiness, because that is rather important. Moving right along, I'm going to jump into hometown heroes, and I can't think of a more fitting hero than the current, I'm going to say, steward to the Canadian Progressive Front, Mr. Addy Lawrence. Addy came to e-Republic on July the 16th, 2009. He is currently ranked number 180 out of all E-Canadians. The day of his arrival was day 604, or 604 of the New World. Addy is a technician and a current field marshal with in terms of in-game ranking. He is, as I said, the steward to the Canadian Progressive Front, although I would say that for all intents and purposes, he is the face and president of the Canadian Progressive Front. He is the guy, that I would certainly, look to as the face of that party. Addy Lawrence is a 9-time Hard Worker Award medal winner, an 8-time sitting congressman, a 4-time Super Soldier medal winner. He is the owner of the newspaper Who's Your Daddy, which used to be under a different name. However, we'll call it Who's Your Daddy. And in my opinion, one of the best and most informative newspapers on the e-Canadian marketplace. You should definitely check out and subscribe to his newspaper. It's always very informative. Addy is well known for being one of the brightest and most, most knowledgeable economic minds in e-Canada. He has served as Minister of Finance on numerous occasions and is often called on for economic advice, for financial advice and planning. He looks after the Opportunity Fund, which is a highly successful investment portfolio in e-Canada. There simply isn't a more intelligent individual when it comes to matters of finance. And he has carved out a niche for himself in that respect. If you have not already done so, adding Addy Lawrence as a friend is a great idea. If you are a new player and you want to talk to somebody who will help you, who will answer your questions no matter how silly they might seem, PM Addy Lawrence, add him as a friend. He's a trustworthy individual. I've known him for some time. I place a lot of faith in his character. I've had the opportunity to interview him before. He has run for country president before as well, although not successfully. He did a great job of campaigning and ran and set the gold standard as to what CP campaigning should look like. If you've been following my campaign, it is absolutely no surprise that my campaign looks very similar to the format that Addy Lawrence used, and imitation is truly the highest form of flattery. And I thought that his campaign was phenomenal and could think of no better way to campaign for CP than to follow in the footsteps of Addy Lawrence. So, the Canadian Progressive Front is facing its challenges, and Addy Lawrence is there trying to help pick up the pieces and lift the party. He is definitely someone that that you can trust and you can talk to if you need advice or help as a new player. And certainly add him as a friend, because he's just an all-around great e-Canadian and somebody who is definitely worthy of being respected. So give him a friend, Ad, chat him up, and at this particular stage of the game with the challenges he's facing, offer to lend him a hand and do what we all can to help him out as he helps the CPF pick itself up off the mat. And that leads me to this and that section of the podcast that deals specifically with my particular opinions or interests or things that I want to talk about. And on this particular occasion, I'm going to focus on the recent situation with the Canadian Progressive Front. You know, I'm going to start by saying it's almost like they say it's the curse of the party president, and that I think only TFD and Addy Lawrence have ever successfully completed a full term as party president. Is it because governing and leading the CPF is a difficult task, or is it because it requires a very special individual? I think the CPF has some of the most polarizing and strongest personalities in the game. And I think because that is the case, it requires somebody who can operate in that type of an environment. having a strong or a polarizing personality isn't a bad thing. It's a great thing. It can be very, very helpful. But when you lead a party that is home to some of those personalities, you really have to be able to manage those personalities, because if you don't, they'll manage you, and they can quickly drive you out of office. And, you know, it's interesting because the Canadian Progressive Front has always been regarded as one of the strongest adversaries on the political front. They are a force to be reckoned with. Their history is long, and they bring a lot to the table overall. And they certainly have a way of challenging the norm and pushing back. And they also have a history of innovation in terms of bringing up ideas that at the time might seem ludicrous, outrageous, too far outside of the box. And yet several months later, you will find other parties doing exactly what the CPF has proposed and at the time was deemed ludicrous. You don't need to look any further than the way Addie Lawrence campaigned for country president a couple of months back. He changed the way that a campaign should look. And people at the time thought, what is this guy doing? This is just, it's over the top. It's just so extravagant. It's so different. We're not used to this. And now I'm using the exact same format and I'm getting a lot of positive feedback for the way I'm running this campaign. And I don't take any credit for the template. I basically am just repeating what Addie Lawrence did because I thought it was phenomenal. But again, it was another example of a member of the Canadian Progressive Front doing something that was outside of the box and at the time deemed a little bit bizarre or unusual or whatever you want to call it, but is now, in my opinion, the gold standard of campaigning. What happened with Crazy Mofo, we may never know. And you know what, frankly, I'm not sure it's relevant at this stage. It's, you know, what is, what has been, has been. I think it's just absolutely unbelievable that a party, it's one thing for a party president to quit. It's a whole other matter to go through and wipe the party forums, to sell off the party companies and assets, some of which were held in trust, some of which were donated by members of the party or former members. I donated a weapons company to the Canadian Progressive Front. It's absolutely unnecessary to go to that extreme. I don't care how angry you are, how much you want to rage quit. Quit your position. That's unfortunate. But to go and wipe the social forums, the backbone of the community, and then sell off all their assets and essentially burn the house to the ground and rob the bank, that is just completely and utterly unnecessary. That is a blatant attempt to not only injure a party, not only cripple a party, but to try and kill a party. And then an interesting thing happened. The community started to come together. I intentionally released an article to try and get people to help the Canadian Progressive Front, because here's the thing. eRepublic and eCanada needs the CPF just as much as the CPF needs eCanada. We need a right-wing party to help challenge the left-wing ideas that are going to come out of some of the other parties, or the center ideas that are going to come out from some of the other parties. We need an intelligent party to help, I guess, debate and shape the landscape of e-Canadian politics. Whether you're a fan of the Canadian Progressive Front or not, you cannot disagree that they do serve a valuable purpose in the overall political sphere of this game. And so in my opinion, although a member of the DAL, and oftentimes the DAL is deemed to be the arch enemy to the Canadian Progressive Front, I openly and fully support a strong and healthy Canadian Progressive Front. On August the 15th, I will be becoming what I'm going to call CPF member for a day. And I'll be going over to the Canadian Progressive Front to help usher Addie Lawrence in as the new party president. Why Addie Lawrence? Because in Tyler they trust, in Addie they follow. And there is no better person to pick this party up off the mat, dust it off, reinvent it, rebuild it, reestablish it, than Addie Lawrence. He is essentially an icon in the CPF. He was a close member of TFD's inner circle. And he is a party pillar. And if anybody can breathe life back into the Canadian Progressive Front and head it back onto the right tracks and get it going in the right direction, I think it's Addie. I would encourage any e-Canadian who can, on August 15th, join the CPF and join the movement, CPF member for a day, and help vote in and usher in Addie Lawrence as the new party president. And let's help bring back and re-strengthen this party so that it can continue to give back and challenge the ideas like it always has. E-Canada is stronger for having the Canadian Progressive Front, and the Canadian Progressive Front is stronger for the people in the community. I was excited to see so many people donating money and resources and whatnot in trust to Addie Lawrence, because it tells me that this is not just a game, but we, you know, it's not just a game of party affiliations or whatever the case may be. It's a community of friends. And anytime a friend is in that sort of need, it's always great to see people come together and offer their support and give them help and build them back up. And I want to extend my thanks to all those people who did come forward and donated resources, donated money, donated whatever they could to help get the party back on track. All right, so let's move on to something else. Let's move on to the closing quote or closing piece of poetry. And last week, the week before last, I did The Cremation of Sam McGee as a piece of poetry, and it was well received. And I didn't realize that classical poetry like that would be so well received. Those of you who know me know that I have a bachelor's degree in English. And as a result, I've done a fair bit of poetic study in my time. And one of my all-time favorite poets is a well-known man named Edgar Allan Poe. That name will come as no surprise to most people. My all-time favorite Edgar Allan Poe poem is The Raven. And today I'm going to share that with you. I'm going to read that that poem to you. I'm going to hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoy reading it. This is Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, "'tapping at my chamber door, only this and nothing more." Ah, distinctly I remember, it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow from my book's surcase of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels named Lenore, nameless here for evermore. and the silken sat uncertain, rustling of each purple curtain, thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before. So that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, 'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. Some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This is it, and nothing more.' Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. 'Sir,' said I, 'or madam, truly, your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more.' Deep into that darkness peering, long stood I there, wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the darkness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, 'Lenore.' This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, 'Lenore.' Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping, somewhat louder than before. 'Surely,' said I, 'surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then what thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind, and nothing more.' Open here I flung the shutter, when with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisant made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but when mine of lord or lady perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. Then this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. 'Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou,' I said, 'art sure no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore.' Quoth the raven, 'Nevermore.' Much I marvelled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast above the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such a name as Nevermore. But the raven sitting lonely on the placid bust spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing further than he uttered, not a feather then he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, 'Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before.' Then the bird said, 'Nevermore.' Startled at the stillness, broken by reply so aptly spoken, 'Doubtless,' said I, 'what it utters is its only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster, till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore, of never, nevermore.' But the raven still beguiling all my sad soul into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and door. Then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking, fancy unto fancy thinking, what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking, 'Nevermore.' This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er, but whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press, ah, nevermore. Then methought the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer, swung by seraphim whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. 'Wretch,' I cried, 'thou God hath lent thee, by these angels he has sent thee, respite, respite, and nepenthe from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, oh, quaff this kind of nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore. quaffed the raven. Nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempter sent or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore. Desolate yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore, quoth the raven. Nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden it shall clasp a sainted maiden, whom the angels named Lenore, clasp a rare and radiant maiden, whom the angels named Lenore, quoth the raven. Nevermore. Be that word our sign of parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked upstarting, get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thou, thy soul hath spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit thy bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart, and take thy form from off my door, quoth the raven. Nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting, on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming through his shadows on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore. And that is Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. I hope you enjoyed it. I very much enjoyed sharing it with you. Normally, I would close with that piece of poetry. However, I have a new thing that I'm going to be closing with in these podcasts. And I'm thrilled and excited to announce that the new closing piece of material for our podcasts will be the latest Penguin comic. I spoke about the Penguin comics the last podcast that I did and how excited I was by their presence. I find them absolutely phenomenal. James McNamara does an incredible job of putting these together. And the most recent comic is The Death of a Legacy. It's a more serious one, but nonetheless, it needs to be pointed out because, again, I truly enjoy the amount of work that goes into doing these up. And in the most recent, more somber Death of a Legacy comic, we have the Penguin heading to the cemetery, and it's reading a couple of tombstones, and it starts to tear up, and it shows Canadian Progressive Front, July 27th, 2010, Tyler's legacy ended, and then Tyler F. Durden, July 13th, 2009 to May 30th, 2010. And then, of course, the Penguin encounters somebody else in the cemetery as well. A more somber Penguin comic for sure. However, each week I'm going to endeavor to share the latest Penguin comic in the podcast. I strongly suggest subscribing to Penguin Power so you can follow along and enjoy these comics right along with me. So if you haven't already done that, look up James McNamara, McNamara, and subscribe to his newspaper, Penguin Power. And you too can enjoy all of the exciting adventures of our good friend, the Penguin. On that note, folks, I'm going to leave you for the day. It is rather nice outside, a little bit cooler, all things being equal, but I think I'm going to step outside and get some fresh air and enjoy the nice weather while I still can. I wish you all a great day, as this will be the last podcast before the country president elections. I would strongly encourage you to read the Jacobi platform, read the Sarah Droz platform, and of course read my own platform. I want to wish my sincere and heartfelt best wishes and good luck to all of the other candidates who are running. I think we are exceptionally lucky with the field of candidates that we have this month. There are some incredible individuals in the mix, and I wish them the best of luck in their run for the top office in eCanada. Most importantly, eCanadians, on the 5th of August, get out and vote. It is your right and your responsibility to select the next leader of this country. So get out and vote and choose the next Prime Minister of E-Canada. I thank you. Have a great day and see you next week.